and welcome back for another episode of the Social Hour Podcast, a podcast for sewists by sewists. I'm your host, Ashley.
And I'm your host, Bethany. And on this week's episode, we're taking a deep dive into zippers. A very deep dive into zippers.
I love zippers. I'm quite
excited about this topic. I was kind of like nerding out about it.
Yeah, it's my favorite thing.
I know. And, you know, I think we decided to kind of dive into zippers because I think people get overwhelmed by them. There's so many different types. Mm-hmm. And we, Ashley and I went through our stash and we were like, oh, wow. Yeah, we do have quite a few different types of zippers. So we're going to talk about the different types of zippers, some of our best tips. I think some things that people get confused about is like when to use a certain type of zipper. Like, how do you know what to grab? And those kind of things. So we're going to kind of go through the different zippers, some tools that we use, even the feet that we use on our machines, depending on the zipper. So this is going to be a very informative podcast about zippers. And just for fun, every time we say the word zipper, take a shot and make it to the end of this podcast. I'm just kidding. Thank you,
but also, definitely go over to our YouTube channel if you haven't already subscribed, because this is going to be a very visual podcast. We got them all in front of us. And if you want to actually see what we're talking about, you definitely want to. But we'll try to best describe.
You know, I think this is going to be one where if you, obviously we're not going to be sewing zippers and showing the techniques of sewing each type of zipper. But because this is a podcast format, but Ashley and I both have videos that we've done on our YouTube channels where we've used zippers, and you can find so many resources like that on YouTube to show you how to sew these different types of zippers. But I think we just need to talk about all the different types.
Yeah.
All the different types.
We'll leave some links to some of our videos in the description box so that if you want to, cause I have like how to use a zipper foot and things like that. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also important that we kind of talk about like the different places that we get zippers from.
Yep.
You know, so we have quite a bit to cover. And then, of course, at the very end of our podcast, we will be sharing a new sewing confession, anonymous sewing confession. I hope you guys are enjoying those as much as we are. but yeah, we've been having fun. Again, if you have an anonymous sewing confession you want to share for us to tell on an upcoming podcast, you need to go to our website and submit it in the form. There is a link in the description of the podcast for you to get there. We also put it in our newsletter. So, yeah. So, Ashley, I would say that you probably have more experience with zippers than I do because you've done a lot of bag making.
Yeah, there's a lot of zippers and bags.
Yeah, and I think I've learned a lot about zippers from doing more bags lately.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
I mean? There's more versatility with zippers and garment making though. Yeah. Really.
There's a lot of variety for garment making. So where would you like to start? I'm going to let you kind of pick and choose.
I mean, I'm just going to go with the basic, like what I can't live without in my stash.
Okay, cool.
Which would be zipper by the yard.
Zipper tape.
Yep. You can buy that in a roll and you can say, I want 10 yards of zipper tape. Mm-hmm. And then you can kind of map out like how many zipper pulls you would probably need for that 10 yards of zipper tape. So if you're like, I need 4 pulls per yard, then you can do the math and then you can buy a big bag of zipper pulls.
Yes.
With your zipper tape.
So I love that like, you kind of figure out the number of pulls versus the amount of zipper tape. I and some people may not love this, but it is reality. When I first started getting into doing a lot of like small crafts, like this little zipper pouch that I did recently for a Zoom class, this is just a random length that I cut this fabric. And so I just needed a random length of zipper. So I used zipper tape, but I have what I did a couple years ago before I really kind of knew anything about zippers and quality of zippers is I went to Amazon and I bought zipper tape in these packs. There's probably a couple of yards of zipper tape in every possible color. And it came with all the zipper pulls and all the colors. So I can mix and match and have a lot of fun with it. And for beginners or for just starting out, and those have been great for small projects.
Mm-hmm.
those have been great. And so those came with the pulls, which was nice, because then I can, like I said, mix and match colors. But I probably have, I don't know, 15 to 20 different zipper tape rolls that are in like so many different colors that I can always reach for those little small projects and whatnots. But yeah, so that's another way to like get some on the cheap.
Yeah,
for and sure. Learn and practice and play. But that way, once you kind of get comfortable with zippers, you can invest in some of the nicer, more decorative zipper by the yard, which Ashley is holding up as well. We both actually have one that's similar, just different colors. It's the mine is black and white stripe on the tape with I think this is a rose gold teeth.
And yeah, the great thing about the decorative ones, like this is from Zipper Valley in Canada, is that you can get like antique bronze like this one and then the silver and then the rose gold. And then it comes in like gunmetal black and like just regular silver. There's literally so many. And rainbow. You have rainbow, don't you?
I do have some rainbow. But what's cool about like the teeth. So what we're talking about is these metal teeth. They can come in different finishes. And what's cool about that is you can match your finish to like your hardware. And so like the whole bag can be like a cohesive vibe and look. And then you can match the pull and everything. The tape itself is the part that sticks out from the teeth, the zipper teeth. And when you have a decorative tape like this, you're going to want to sew it a little differently so that you want the tape to show, right? With this kind of plain Jane zipper tape, it's okay if you get a little closer. You don't really necessarily want as much of that. It's not as decorative, right? And these are also zipper tape like this is typically, like the cheaper stuff is typically plastic teeth versus metal teeth. Okay. Yeah. So again, just in zipper tape alone. Yeah.
Yeah.
And mine are metal.
This is plastic too.
Really?
Yeah.
These are metal, these ones that I have.
But you need to be very careful when it comes to sewing that type of, you know.
Yeah. You definitely might not be able to hand wheel. I use the hand wheel and just go real slow and let the needle kind of wiggle between the teeth as it stitches across.
Yeah.
Because it's a surefire way to break a needle if you just gun-ho right over.
Yeah.
So what's really cool, and I think one thing that we probably need to talk about with zipper tape, is you can cut this to the length that you need for your project. But people get confused of like, how do I add the zipper pull, or how do I put a stop at the end, or those kind of things. So maybe Ashley, you can talk a little bit about those tips and tricks when cutting your own zipper tape.
This type of zipper tape, you wouldn't necessarily have a stop. Like this is something that you would put into, you know, there's going to be fabric on both ends and that's your stops.
And you sew it like for a pocket or something like that. But I have seen people use decorative zipper tape as like a separating zipper, and you can get the little metal stops to put at the end so that it can separate and still open completely. But typically with zipper tape, you are, like Ashley said, sewing at both ends of the top and the bottom, so it stops it from both sides.
But okay, so when it comes to doing something like that, you need to learn the sizes of your zipper. So this is a size 5. They have size 3, size 3.5. It kind of goes up. So this is size 5, and then I have size 3 here. But when you do that, when you have that, you have to get the size 5 zipper pull. You have to get the size 5 zipper stop. So it's kind of like a whole thing to be able to. So that's why most people kind of just stick to 2 different sizes. Like I have the size 5 for my larger pockets. And then for like an inside pocket, I would do my size 3. And so then I only have size 3 and size 5.
I would say those are the 2 most common sizes.
Yeah, exactly. For sure. But yeah, also, we'll talk about putting on the zipper pull. Yes. There's tools that you can use to be able to put them on. You can put them on with your hands.
That's how I typically do it.
Yeah. There's videos that will show you how, and it's quite easy, especially when you have the larger zipper teeth. But then you can purchase something like, I think Bethany has a store-bought,
this is also off Amazon. Let me tell you, this is for a size 3 and a size 5. So there's two different slots. I have watched videos, and then I still can't figure this sucker out. I have gotten so... Well, one time I've watched a video and I figured it out, and I was like, oh, that wasn't that hard. But then the next time I went to use it, I couldn't remember how to do it, and I didn't want to look up a stupid video again. So I sat there and tried to figure it out, and I got so frustrated, I threw it across the room and just did it by hand, because when in doubt, that works for me. But if you do figure this out and use zippers more frequently than I do, this will be easy for you. Because when I did take the time to look up the video and do it the right way, I was like, oh, that was really easy. But for some reason, it is so hard for me to remember how to use this thing. I just need to sit and practice and practice and practice. So this is a store-bought version. And then Ashley has a homemade version that is quite like, it looks like one of those,
it's a fork.
It looks like a torture device from like,
yeah,
it's a long time ago.
It almost looks like a hook that you can put on a wall, but it's a fork that is bent. Mm-hmm. And then I screwed it into a block of wood, and then I curled down the outer tongs or tangs. What are they called?
Teeth? I don't know.
And then the inside here is where I would put my zipper pull. And what I would need to do is I would need to see when I do it, I put the zipper in.
Okay.
And then the little thingy hangs down below.
Yeah.
So it's upside down. And I think that's where it gets confusing, because
that's where I get confused.
It's like, why would I want to put it upside down? But then you put it like this, and then you feed in the zipper. Mm-hmm. Upside down too, so we're going like this.
Yeah.
But this is great. Like, I can't recommend this enough, because
that's a very inexpensive way. If you've got that one random fork in your silverware drawer that doesn't match any of your other silverware, and you're like, where the hell did this come from? Mm-hmm. This is what you can use it for. And she just put it on some wood, and it's actually like, you could probably put a little hook on the back and like actually hang it on the wall. So mm-hmm. whenever you need it, you could just grab it or do it right there on the wall.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean, like, seriously.
with the fork though, I kind of made sure that it had like a larger surface top here so that I could get the screws in. So that's the only thing that I would recommend, is make sure that it's like,
I wonder if you could use like some really strong, like super glue if you didn't want to screw it in.
Maybe. I mean, there's not a ton of pressure on this.
Yeah. Now, does that fit both sides zippers?
No, it'd probably work too.
yeah, zip tie it. Does that fit size 3 and size 5 zippers?
It's them all. That's the thing, is it just fits them all.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could adjust those little prongs and just kind of like move them in and out if you needed to.
Yeah, I use it for all the sizes.
Well, I will link my store-bought Amazon one if that's the route you want to go, or you can thrift it up like Ashley likes to do.
Go to the thrift shop, you know? They always have that bin of just odd forks. And I'm literally going through it, and the girl's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm looking for a fork.
Just one. Yeah.
I only have one mouth.
Mm.
But I love funny. It. It's so good. It's so great. I love all. There's just so many different like styles. Like, I have a bumblebee because I call my daughter Honeybee. So like, how cute. Bethany bought me flamingo one.
I did buy you flamingo one.
Yeah.
I have some really fun zipper pulls, and I think that's where I have some that say handmade. I have one that's a seam ripper that I put on a bag. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have so many different ones. I've bought some for certain materials that I still haven't sewn up. But, you know, those are fun to get. We'll probably link some of our favorite shops that we like to buy and, you know, small businesses that we like to buy those kind of specific things for. Mm-hmm. We've had Kasaya with Saya Swag on our podcast before, and she sells like zipper by the yard, and she does some fun matching sets with hardware and everything, and mm-hmm. she also sells the thread for like industrial machines and semi-industrial machines and stuff too. So she really does cater to like the bag makers, and there's a lot of people that I've bought stuff from. There's like the Wizardry One, I'm not the best with business names right off the top of my head, but I've seen, the problem is I see them at these vendor shows, like these big sewing expos and bag expos and stuff. And I shop them in person and get to touch and feel and see and match and on all of that, which is super fun. And then I kind of get to know their products. And then when I go to order online, I know exactly what I want to get or what to expect. So anytime you can go to any of those expos or follow those kind of companies to see where they're going to be, I highly recommend it. Lauren with Mormino, we've had her on the podcast before. She's big in the bag making and she has hardware and materials and all tapes and ribbons and whatnots. And so, you know, there's a lot out there. We'll list there the ones, you know, Zipper Valley's another one. So there's a lot
in Canada.
You can choose from. I know a lot of people in the US order from Zipper Valley. This is where you can really have some fun with it.
There's also Pack Canna that's out of Edmonton, Alberta. And that one is if you have a business and you need to buy like, you know, large quantities, that's where I get this stuff from.
Yeah.
And then you can just get your standard poles. They don't have the fun stuff, but if you're like, you know, you're mass producing
colors. Yeah. That's kind of what I did with the Amazon ones that I have, and I'll link them, but it was just great for like, if you're going to do a lot of small pouches or things like that, and you want a bunch of different colors. I made that crossbody bag and it was with some really fun rainbow stripe canvas. And so I was able to use one color zipper tape and a different color pull.
Yeah.
To really have fun with it. And there's another one that I bought at a vendor show that I have never used. It's still wrapped up. But if you aren't watching, I'm going to do my best to explain this. These are metal teeth, but it's like iridescent rainbow. So it's like variegated throughout the whole tape. But what's cool is outside of the teeth, it's like clear plastic vinyl.
Yeah. So I haven't even seen that before.
Yeah. So this way you can like, I mean, I don't even know. It's one of those things when you're at these shows and you're like, that's so pretty. Let me add to cart, you know, like grab it. And I did. And then someone told me like, oh, this might actually be really challenging to sew because that's vinyl.
Yeah. But
if you're sewing like a clear vinyl pouch and you want a clear zipper, this would be super cool. And I just need to take some time to play with it and see how it goes.
You need to clean too, though, like, especially when you have a full vinyl pouch.
Yeah.
You know, you risk the, if it's in a wet environment, mold growing and stuff.
Yeah.
So this is just like perfect.
Yeah. So this is super fun. It's a clear vinyl zipper tape with rainbow teeth.
Love it.
Again, I don't know. I don't know.
You don't remember where you got it from?
I don't remember which booth. I don't. It was my first time going to the Sew Magical Expo last year when they were here. And it was my first time going to one that was like really bag making focused. And I was just dabbling into bag making. And I hadn't even gotten my industrial machine yet. So, I mean, I was super noob.
Yeah.
And I was just like.
Well, it might be on the vendors list, though, of Sew Magical on their website or something. You could probably.
Yeah. I think I could probably find it. A lot of them do kind of carry some of the same stuff at these shows anyways. But they are doing more and more of those expos. And so I've already signed up to go to it again this year. Last year it was in June, at the end of June. This year it's at the end of August, first part of September. And so this time, because I went last time, I just went to shop the vendor area for like, and I was there for half a day shopping. Just shopping. And that's how I ended up with rainbow clear zipper tape. But this year I signed up for all 3 days and to take classes because I really, really wanted to really dive in and get more exposure to that for quite a few reasons. But one of the big reasons is, and this is just recently announced, is Lynn's with Lynn's Handmade is a bag maker. She's a pattern maker. And she is hosting her first sewing retreat this year. It's been a goal of hers to do one for a long time. And she's asked myself, to be one of the teachers at her very first retreat, which I am so honored. If you've seen my posts, you'll know. She's been sharing it. Kasaya, who I mentioned earlier, is going to be one of the other teachers. And then Crystal is another one. And so there's four teachers. It's going to be a blast. It's in October. I think signups start later in like May, June, July. Don't quote me on that, but somewhere around in there. But we're starting to trickle out more and more information about the retreat, but it's going to be in October. So if you want to come, you'll be hearing a lot more about it in the coming months. But I'm super excited and honored. And, you know, I know I'm still kind of new to the bag making, but there's a lot that I do that applies. And so I have some topics that we're going to be talking about that will, and classes that I'm going to be teaching that you can apply to your bag making. So it's going to be really fun. So I'm just excited to be around them all and learn from them too. So it's going to be super cool. So anyways, I had to throw that out there.
Speaking engagement.
What now?
You have another speaking engagement.
I do.
Coming now.
This week. So if you're listening to the podcast this week, I partnered with Megan with Sew and Tell Australia, another former guest of ours. We've had her on twice, and she is launching her very first summit, which is the Sew Style and Craft Summit. And there's 15 speakers. It's throughout the entire week. Just to attend is free, but then she does have some like VIP stuff where you can sign up for that gets you so much stuff and additional access after all of it's over. From all of the teachers, but I'm teaching one of the classes that week. I think I'm actually the very last class of the whole summit, which is perfect because I'm teaching you the proper methods of cleaning your machines.
Yeah. After
and we're going to really dive into that. And so you're going to learn that from me in a one-on-one Zoom. So you're going to be able to ask me questions and all of that. It's going to be more intimate setting, private one-on-one sessions, like we're not one-on-one, but like me with the class. Yeah,
that's awesome.
And so we're going to be doing that later this week. My class is on Saturday night, which is like Sunday morning for Australia, but our teachers are like all around the world, like, and the classes are at all different times. And so it's super cool. And I'm so honored that Megan asked me to be a part of her summit, her very first summit. And it's going to be super fun. So
And it's this week. If you are listening to this now, which is the 12th or the day that it comes out, you still have an opportunity to go and sign up. And because Bethany's at the end of the week, then.
Yeah, it's coming out. But we've been sharing it in our newsletter. So if you are just now hearing about this for the first time, it means you're not subscribed to our newsletter and you need to go subscribe.
Yeah. And there's a link in there to sign up.
Yeah, for sure. So anyways, we'll link it in the description below as well. We have a lot to link. Are you making notes of this, Ashley?
It's all in the
it's all in the noggin. Board. Cool. All right, so let's kind of switch gears to some other zippers, and I think we're going to kind of switch into some garment zippers real quick.
Yeah, sure.
And we'll start with this little guy right here.
Oh yeah, what is that one? Oh, is that a locking jean zipper?
No, it's a jean zipper,
but it's locking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what does locking mean?
Mine is not locking. Sorry.
What? It's a jean zipper. Locking. They all lock.
Oh, like with the, with this.
Yeah.
I'm learning too. Okay. So the zipper pull actually locks the zipper in place. So it doesn't slide down as you're sitting down or standing up or moving around with your, with your jeans. So that's really cool. So it is like that little, I just never really noticed that.
As long as you keep your zipper pulled down, your zipper will not go. So if you notice that your zipper always comes undone, your zipper pull might be up or that mechanism might be broken. Cause that'll happen from like long uses of, you know, jeans, you know, my favorite jeans and all the time the zipper's falling down. That little mechanism there can stop working and it stops locking. But you always want to make sure that you put it down because then
now that you mention it, I feel it. Like I feel the stiffness in that lock. I just didn't really, I just thought it was, but now I see it.
Yeah. So that's you what, can when actually I see people, see it. I see people like make jeans and they just use whatever zipper they have. And I'm like, no. Yeah. Like, you're going to be in public and you're going to be wearing your jeans. You know.
I see London. I see France. I see Ashley's underpants.
Well, I know better, so it's not going to be me. You know what I'm saying?
Sorry, I had to. No, but that's, so jean zippers, I wanted to, the reason I called these out is because there are specific zippers for jeans. They are much, like, I think, this is metal teeth, first of all. There's a stronger, because you're getting a lot of action with that zipper, like, you know, up and down, up and down. It's right in an area where you're, like, stretching the fabric, moving, bending, standing, walking, jumping, whatever you're doing. So it definitely needs to be a stronger zipper. You do not want to use this El Cheapo zipper tape.
Oh, gosh, no.
From Amazon. I mean, you could, but we'll see. London, we'll see.
For, like, a mock-up, sure. The other thing is that these have lengths, so, you know, you need to be, because there's a zipper stop as well, you need to get the correct length. It's really important.
I have a 7-inch right here. Which size is yours?
7-inch?
I think it's a pretty common size for the zipper.
Yeah.
Need one that's shorter, you can, probably when you do kids. Your fly, you can sew across it to sew in a stop and trim off the excess if you need to. But if you need one that's longer, this wouldn't work.
Yeah.
So you can always shorten, but you can't add length to a zipper.
For sure.
All right. So I wanted to call that out. Yep. I think another really common zipper that people associate with garments is the invisible zipper.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've not seen one, this is the front side of the invisible zipper. And you see, you do not even see the zipper teeth at all. The fabric joins right here perfectly. Okay. See,
it just joins. It has that cute little, like, very, very
small. A little teardrop kind of pull. It's very dainty, so it doesn't stand out. And then the backside is where the teeth are. And there is a specific technique for sewing these zippers. And I will say, the best tip I have, if you want to sew an invisible zipper, is an invisible zipper foot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It looks different than a regular zipper foot because it has the grooves on the back that separate the teeth so that you can get your stitch as close to, if not right up under, where those teeth will roll back out so that it's catching the fabric as close to the teeth. And that is what gives it that invisible look. So, a side of a side of a skirt, you know, that's a common place to have as invisible zipper. The whole point is for it to not be visible from the outside of the garment. And so using an invisible zipper foot is imperative to get a really nice finish on those zippers. They're not hard to sew unless you don't use this foot. And then it gets really challenging. And that's where people get intimidated by them.
And you don't have to use an invisible zipper for garments.
No.
Some have, you know, a beautiful gold zipper going down the back or something.
And that's a fashion statement.
Yeah.
Speaking of fashion statements, do you remember when we had talked about zippers vaguely before? And I said that I had
this. You should use it. Totally.
Zipper.
Yeah.
In my stash with rhinestones all the way down the teeth. With gorgeous. The biggest, most gaudy looking. Hold on. Let me turn this pull around. Look at this pull with all the rhinestones on it and everything. Dying. Like, it is. A statement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what is that?
It's 24 inches of rhinestones on black zipper tape.
Does it say what it is? Like, what's the label? Like, is it a coat? Is it a, what is it?
It doesn't say because it's from Hobby Lobby. Mm. It just says zipper, but it is, it's a separating zipper. So I could use it for a jacket.
Yes. You're in your jacket era right now too.
I am, but I don't know that I'm in this era. I'm not in my rhinestone era. I don't know what possessed me to buy this. And it's huge. That's like freaking dinosaur scale, like right there. Like, it's huge.
Wow.
This is bigger than a 5. This is like a 10. I don't know. But it's, each tooth has a rhinestone embedded in it. And then there's...
I definitely have one of those zippers as well from my mom. It's so but my aggressive. Mom has always been in her rhinestone era, like her entire life. But I think that's like 70s stuff, you know? Like,
yeah. It had its moment again in the early 2000s.
I'm when we had like rhinestones
on our back jean pockets and stuff. But
okay, seriously, today I saw this girl walking to her bus stop, okay? She was wearing Nike socks because, you know, that's what all the teenagers do. She's in high school and she had these like these fuzzy slippers on, you know? That like
going to school in fuzzy slippers.
But like, you know how it's just like the slides, right? And it's fuzzy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I just couldn't help but think like if those were like kitten heels and like Edward Scissorhands and ambrosia salad, and I'm just like that if that can come back, then rhinestone.
So can this giant rhinestone zipper.
Yeah, for sure. Because I'm just
am I responsible for bringing this back now? I have to work it into something to make it cool again.
You could. Oh my god, people would love that reel.
Yeah, good.
But it's just I thought it was just like so funny because now that I'm older, I can look back at these trends and think like that was this trend at this time, and you think it's new and it's not.
You're but 17. We said the same thing to our parents, so you know.
I know my mom did that. She's like, I have that in my closet, and I have had it for 30 years, and I'm like, no.
So I made that quilted coat for my aunt recently, and we were in the car with my mom, my aunt, her friend, and we were driving. I took a Friday off, and we were going to a quilt shop about 2 hours from our house, so like a little day girls trip. And we're talking and about quilted coats and all of this. And my mom was like, I can't believe I got rid of my quilted coats. And I was like, you had quilted coats? And she's like, yeah. And then they went out of style and I just got rid of all of them. And now I don't have any. And you're over here making one for Aunt Jana's. And I'm like, give me a quilt and I'll make you one. Like, I'm not quilting a quilt for you. And then
not to cut it up.
No. But Aunt Janice had given me those quilts that were some of the very first ones. I've got two more up here that were the very first ones she's ever done. Mm-hmm. And she was just learning. And, when you look at where you started and where you've grown, you're like, oh, those look awful. I think they look fabulous. And so they're going to get turned into coats because she knew I was like doing that. And so I made that one for her because it was her quilt.
That's so funny that your mom had them, though.
Yeah, so she brought. I was like, I didn't even know that was a thing before, and she got rid of all of them. I was like, yeah, this is my mom's a purger. She loves to get rid of stuff.
I know, me too.
And so that's why, like, everything that was in style that's come back, she has to like start all over.
Yeah, we can't hang on to this stuff, though. Like, really, we can't. But
I can't keep it all. Where do I fit in any of this stuff from high school? Yeah. All right. So we talked about jean zippers. We talked about invisible zippers. I have one other invisible zipper I want to hold up and show, and I'll explain it. It looks the same as the other one, but the sides are like a mesh.
Oh, yeah. See, that was before dance wear and stuff, right?
Yes. But also, like, it's really soft and malleable because it's a mesh. But if you were sewing something that was kind of like a sheer.
Yep. Yeah.
And this could kind of blend into you. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. But honestly, you could use this like if you were sewing this onto a satin and you didn't want to see a stiffness of a regular invisible zipper tape. Mm-hmm. So there's different, depending on material, you can kind of choose. Mm-hmm. Now, another one that I have here is just a decorative fashion zipper. It is a closed bottom. It's a skinnier tape. Oh, you have one too, but it's a lacy decorative tie. Yeah, mine's a little
different cut.
Mm-hmm. So this is actually going to be sewn on a little differently because you want to see the tape. It's going to add, see, mine has got this pretty little lace edge. Yours has got a lace cutout design. Mm-hmm. I really don't know why I bought this or how I ended up with this zipper.
It's a long one too. So I'm like, I don't even know
what 22 you'd inches. For.
Like this is clearly like little bags and stuff.
Yeah. Maybe this is for like the back of a dress even, you know, you could totally do that.
Totally. Well, I mean, if it was like a little eyelet dress, that might be cute.
Yeah.
White. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. But anyways, there are ones where the tape wants to be seen and like all the tape. And so those are sewn differently. You would need to watch a tutorial. It is a different sewing approach because you want all of this to be visible, not hidden into the seam.
Yeah.
So it's a little different there.
I have a video using this decorative tape. I use it also with like vinyl because vinyl, then you'll really be able to see it. But what I would do is I would take my fabric and I would do it like right sides together and then flip it and then to have a nice clean edge and then just lay it on top or lay it underneath, sorry, and then do a top stitch so that it's like it's hidden. The raw edge is hidden, but it's nice and clean underneath the zipper.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't really love using these very often. Once in a while.
No, they're finicky and challenging. Yeah. So that would be a more advanced
double
zipper.
Double-sided tape.
Yeah. Two other garment zippers that I have are separating sport zippers. I have a shorter white one and a longer black one. These are for coats. This is what I would really use these
like
for.
Like one of those, like, I don't even, dry fit type of... Or workout.
These are, it's definitely like a size 5.
Yeah.
I would say, if not more, if not bigger than a size 5, but it is plastic, but it is a thick zipper and it's got a separating at the bottom. So this would be for coats or something like that. And I have this black one as well.
Yeah, I have some really heavy duty coat ones here. And you can see how big.
Yeah, that's what this one looks like.
Big and thick. And full on metal because, you know, you don't want it to break because there's a lot of wear and tear.
Here's more just a traditional separating that's not big and clunky, but it's still a separating zipper.
Yeah. That would be for like smaller garments, I guess, right?
Yeah. And what's interesting is like, okay, let's hold these two up. So this one's sport. Right? This one is pretty much reversible. The teeth are on both sides.
Yeah, that's how these are, yeah.
This one, the teeth are not on both sides. So this one wouldn't be a reversible zipper, whereas this one would be. So if you had a reversible coat or something, does that make sense?
I don't think I have any reversible. So if you had a fully reversible, you'd be able to take the pole and be able to flip it onto the other side.
Yep.
But I have this one that's a two-way. And, and it's
so
a
it has the pole
two-way.
At the top and the bottom.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
A separating two-way. But I also want to mention, though, that you can take those other ones that we had here and make them into two-way.
You so, like, the zipper tape that we were talking about for the bags, if you wanted to have a double zipper pull to open a bag or a backpack or a pocket, you could put your pulls on it.
Yeah, exactly. You just put them on the opposite ends, and then you're able to open it up from the middle. Like, for my duffel bag and stuff, I did that. And it's awesome. Oh, what are these ones are, like, real metal silver.
Yeah.
I need to separate. I actually need to replace two zippers now and two coats, and I'm running out of coats. So I'm really bummed because it's not like easy.
No, I think it's harder to replace a zipper into an existing garment than to add a zipper to something you're making from scratch.
Oh gosh, for sure. You have to hand pick all the way down. It's not going to look as good when you put it back together. I know I can do it. It's just that there's a lot of time invested in it. And it's just like, But I'm like literally using the buttons on my coat to do up my coat now because I can't. And it broke at the bottom, which is whenever you get these coats that have the two way, the tape starts to like, unless you don't zip up that pull at the bottom. The reason why we're supposed to do that is so that we can sit down in our coat. You know, you get in the car or whatever. And if you don't do that, you cause so much strain that the tape starts to separate from the bottom. And then one day you can no longer do up your coat, which is
that what you were doing? Yeah.
It's even like just like you're outside and you bend down and like you have to always remember to zip up that double ended zipper.
I think for a lot of people, though, we don't, like, for myself, I don't have coats that are long enough to that to be a problem.
Of course not.
Because I don't live in Canada.
Yeah, you don't live in a freaking frozen tundra.
No, I don't.
Coats that go down to your ankles. So.
Yeah, I've never. I think my longest coat may cover my butt.
Oh, may. Gosh. I can't live without one. My coat hits mid-thigh, but it could be longer, for sure.
And I'm talking like my puffer coat with a zipper. I do have that one coat that I made, the tan one, but it snaps and it has a tie and it doesn't have a zipper and it's a little longer. It's like a little longer, but for the most part, I don't know that I could even buy a coat here that goes down to my knee. I'd have to make it. So...
yeah.
Anyways, I did want to point out, we talked a little bit about the invisible zipper foot. And I'll hold that one up again for those who are watching. But then there's just a regular zipper foot. Your zipper foot for your specific machine might look a little different, and that's okay. But this is kind of a standard looking one. And there's two sides to this zipper foot. So depending on which side the teeth are on is the side that you want to adjust that foot. So you would just pop it off and move it to the other side on your machine so that you're sewing close to the teeth. You want to sew close to the teeth where most zippers, unless it's a decorative tape and you want to see more of that. And that's when you can decide how much of the tape you want to see and how much, you know, how far from the teeth you want to sew. So you do have some choices there, especially with the decorative, like this that we showed earlier with the stripe. I would want to sew closer to this edge instead of closer to the teeth because I want to see this pretty tape. That's part of the design element. So,
but you got to be careful when you're doing that because it alters the pattern a little bit because it's based on the seam allowance that you would typically use for your zipper tape. So just keep that in mind when you're making bags and stuff like that. You might need to increase or, increase your seam allowance in another area to accommodate for that zipper tape.
Now, Ashley, what is your favorite way of, like, securing a zipper when you're sewing it on? I have my methods, but I'm curious to hear what your methods are. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Okay, so some people just, like, pin or clip their zipper to the material and then they sew it on. And that works great for like a simple tape with a simple non-slippery fabric or whatever. But I know when you're sewing like clear vinyl, you'll use like a double-sided clear tape to hold things together. Some people, so when I'm sewing on like an invisible zipper to satin or something, I will use double-sided water-soluble seam tape that will wash away when I wash the garment later. And you'll never know it was there, but it's a temporary hold between the fabric and the zipper tape to hold it in place. And I've also seen people use like a fabric safe glue that will wash away.
That's another one.
So use what you need to. I think there's times where clips are just fine. Like when I was sewing this little zipper pouch, it's a simple zipper tape onto denim. I just use clips.
Yeah, I clip on the end.
Because it's not really going to go anywhere.
Right from the front and the back, and that's it. But if I was going to do a welt pocket, double-sided tape every single time. Every time.
So I think it just depends. If you're really struggling with getting your zipper to sew straight or anything like that, or to stay in alignment, using one of those methods of a glue stick or double-sided tape, water-soluble seam tape, pins and clips, you know, just depending on the material that you're sewing with, there's a lot of different methods for helping you be able to get a good hold of your zipper. And then when you are sewing on a zipper, you want to stop. If your pull's already attached, you want to stop, with your needle down, lift your foot up and reach in there and slide that zipper pull past your foot before you get to it. And then put your foot down and keep sewing. That way you don't get that little wave and try to sew around the zipper pull. It's never going to be straight right there. And it's just in it. You cause a chance to cause damage to your zipper pull, your zipper, your foot or your machine trying to do that. So just take your time with it.
I do want to mention that with bags, a lot of times you have to miter your corners at the end. And I always use like a really tacky glue where I would take it and then I would kind of bend the teeth over and then I'll glue in here. And some people like to sew it.
Someone like a little basting stitch to hold it down, like a little tacking stitch. Mm-hmm.
So I would, because then you would just kind of like sew up and then like right off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all that would be hidden within the seam. But I just use some glue, and then I'll put a clip here, prepare it in advance, and then I'm good to go, because this part, it's the worst part, but glue is your best friend, seriously.
Yeah.
When it comes to that.
Glue, double-sided tape, those kind of things for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to call that out. And then real quick, we had talked about like how to attach the zipper pulls earlier. Mm-hmm. If you want to do it by hand, if you don't have one of the fork like Ashley, or the store-bought tool like I have, one of my best tips that I have that I give to people is when you separate the teeth, I cut off on one side about 3 teeth. Mm. I just cut it off. I make one side a little taller than the other side. So when I go to put my pull in, I start with the taller side, and then I can feed in the shorter side, mm-hmm. and then it lines up so it looks nice and smooth, and I don't get a bump or anything. If you get that kind of uneven bump when you put your pull on, take it off and do it again. Do it again until it goes on just like so the tape lays nice and smooth and flat.
Yeah.
It may take a couple tries.
Just kind of separate it all the way down. And then you can, and it's fine. You know, like mm-hmm. the unevenness will go away. But if you need it to be that exact size, then you really, and honestly, it's just so much better to leave both ends connected, because then the zipper pull will just kind of hang out in the middle and you can just move it around. But
yeah,
it's these two ends that if you can keep them together while you're sewing your project, it'll just be installed so much nicer instead of you trying to like put it
separate the whole together thing.
And then sew on. It's just dumb. You know,
When it calls for a project like this zipper pouch right here, when it calls for a 12-inch zipper, mm-hmm. I always add like an extra inch of length to give myself some wiggle room, because I know that I'm going to be attaching a pull. I'm going to cut a little bit off on the end if I need to. I'd rather trim off excess, mm-hmm. like a little bit of excess, and have some extra wiggle room to work with my zipper to get it in there, than waste the entire zipper, have to rip it all out and cut a whole new zipper. So, mm-hmm. you know, if a project says, oh, you need, all, you know, for this zipper pouch, you need a 12-inch zipper, I'm probably going to cut 13 inches.
Yeah, for sure.
That's just my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to be exact, but it can't be smaller than that, right? That's the whole point.
Yeah. So and if it is smaller than that, then you're going to be cutting like 3 inches off and then adding tabs to it, like fabric mm-hmm. tabs. And you'll see that sometimes in small pouches.
Let's talk about that, because I've actually never done a fabric tab on a zipper.
Oh.
When would I want to do that? Would this have been a good opportunity to do that mm-hmm. instead of working it into the seam?
Yeah, that would kind of finish it off so that you don't see that, just that little curl of the zipper.
Yeah.
I do it when I don't have enough zipper tape. And two, it just kind of, it finishes it off. It just gives it a finished look sometimes.
I see it on like bags and stuff, and it's like something that you can hold on to as you pull the zipper pull.
Yeah, you can open it. Yeah, you can add that tab as well in that area. You do also need to keep in mind that if you're adding those little, you're shortening your zipper. So then if you're making like a duffel bag, you won't be able to open it as wide. So it's still one of those, like, it's really just kind of your preference, but
mm-hmm.
you can take any bag, any design, and either put zipper tabs or just omit them entirely. It's really just what some people will always do it. You know, that's just their style.
Yeah.
I'm not a big zipper tab person just because it kind of makes.
I think it's kind of like a design element.
It is.
You see it a lot in like the quilted bags and stuff,
mm-hmm.
or the ones that are like the quilted pouches or cotton or those kind of things. You can also incorporate, correct me if I'm wrong, like, or maybe it's sewn into the side of the bag, like a wristlet or a little handle or something, right? Can it come mm-hmm. off of that or no? I'm asking because I've never tried it.
Like come off of where the zipper tab is?
Zipper pull here.
Yeah.
Like that zipper tab, right? Could this tab come off and go into the side seam and be like a handle as well? Like from here, you see my...
Yeah.
It's off the tab here, but the tab comes all the way down and connects into the side seam?
No, I don't think so, because it would bend it and it would be all weird.
Okay. Look at me trying to get crafty and creative. I want to try it.
Someone might say, you're wrong, Ashley, and that's fine.
And Bethany is always right.
Yep. Well, I think that we've covered pretty much everything.
Right? I think so. I think we truly have.
If we haven't, of course, you're welcome to put us
I'm
on blast.
I'm sure there's
in the comments.
A zipper we're missing, but
yeah. Let us know if there's something that we're missing down in the comment section, because I mean, I'm sure there is.
I'm sure there is too.
Like, oh, I mean, what about the ones you used for boots? I don't know.
And the ones you use that are, I guess we kind of talked about reversible ones for like sleeping bags and stuff like that too.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that's a thing. And you actually can go and buy. Well, see, that's where that zipper tape, because you could, you know, make your own kind of thing, or you could go and be like, I want, you know, I got this duvet cover and it has buttons, and that just drives me nuts. I hate the buttons, right?
Yeah, that's bad.
And you just throw in one of these zippers, and then. That's what opens your duvet cover.
Or you could just not do a duvet cover because they're the worst.
Oh, you don't have one.
I had one once and it was like the worst process. Whoa. To
a
wash
your opinion.
To get that comforter back into that duvet. I mean, I was like jumping
you learn
on
the
bed.
Tricks. See, there's tricks to it. There's the folding and then the rolling and then the thing and then the
nope. Absolutely not.
I know the tricks. I think I learned it on HSN. Yeah.
Well, good for you.
Thank you.
That's like some Martha Stewart stuff that I don't have the patience for. Yeah. I cannot.
But this is also when you like can bug your significant other and be like, can you help me put the duvet cover on? And then he comes in and
when I had one, I was single and I was in there. I remember, this is so off topic, but I remember standing on the bed with my like down white down comforter that I was going to shove into this duvet. And I'm like trying, and I'm like standing on the bed.
Everybody's been there.
The ends of it in the corners, shaking it down into the duvet and like hitting my head on the ceiling fan. And I'm jumping up and down. And it's this whole thing. And I was like, how do people do this?
Not like that.
Well, that was the only way. And I felt like I was just wrestling the whole thing. It was just awful. I was like, I'm not doing that again. I'm never. And I don't think I did. I think I left it on there. And then when I washed it again, I was like, trash. Trash.
Oh, when I was like,
this is a white comforter.
When I was 19, I remember I was at my friend's house and her roommate was like, can you put my duvet cover on? And I had never seen it ever in my life. And I was just like, this is impossible. Like, I just.
It's so hard. It's like trying to fold a fitted sheet. It just doesn't work.
Right? Like, I was just like putting a square peg in a round hole. I'm like, what are you asking for?
Ugh. The worst.
It took us like 30 minutes.
My son came to me one day and because I asked him to fold some sheets and there was a fit. He's like, how do you fold this? And I was like, oh, I'll show you. And I like literally took it and I just went, and then I folded the ends in and I go, here you go. And he was like, really? And I was like, you figure it out. I can watch those videos all day of how to stick your hand in this corner and your hand in this corner and fold it and then fold it. It never works.
No, I don't.
So we just roll it up.
No, but then the flat sheet is so beautiful.
The flat sheet is always, you put that one on top.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of gets squished down and you just don't even see how awful it is. And it doesn't matter if it gets wrinkled. It's fitted. It gets pulled tight on your mattress. So it's totally fine. Anyways.
But I still iron it. I'm just kidding. I don't.
Hey, speaking of bed sheets, have you seen the bed sheets that you zip up?
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about those.
I don't know either. I could see how it would be great for like making the bed for like kids and stuff. But at the same time, I'm like, where's the sheet? It's just a comforter. And I am an avid sheet and comforter sleeper. I don't we've had this conversation before off air. There are people who just sleep with a comforter and not the top sheet. And then there are people who have to have the top sheet and the comforter.
I need a top sheet. I need a top sheet.
I need a top sheet too. Brett, my fiance, no. So the whole sheet gets pushed in between us and I end up with all the sheet and the comforter and he's just sleeping with the comforter and it drives me nuts because I'm like, now I have to wash my comforter more often.
Exactly. That's the point, right? And my husband doesn't get that. And
men don't get this. Oh my gosh. I'm getting real worked up right now.
It's clearly both of our relationships are on the verge of collapse.
Can relate to this. I think absolutely. It's
I change my sheets once a week, and my husband comes in and he's like, "Isn't this like the fourth time you've changed them today?" And I'm like, "No."
Well, if you weren't sleeping bare bones up against my comforter, we wouldn't be on this situation.
Right? And exactly.
Here's the funny part is Brett actually really likes making the bed. So I will strip it and I will wash the sheets and he will put them on and he does like the hospital corners. I mean, yeah. But then he gets in there and just F's it all up, man. And it just pisses me off. And there's like this lump of sheets underneath the bed in the middle. That's so every time I go to make the bed, there's this lump and I have to go to his side and pull the sheet back over. And I'm just like, dude.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now that we're done ranting about
sheets,
our partner's horrible sleeping habits, let's talk about our sewing confession of the week. Confession, man, I'm grown and I don't know what to do. I guess I gotta keep on two of my confession. All right. So this week's sewing confession is, this is going to trigger me. I'm already wound up. So I've just got to get it out. I haven't cleaned my sewing machine or changed the needle in about 3 years.
I'm out. I gotta go.
I'm done. I'm almost gonna cry. I'm gonna cry. This upset.
I'm not like disintegrated by now, right? Like.
Literal tears, y'all. Like,
your poor machine.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, we're gonna pray for you and your sweet machine.
Yeah,
I can't. Why did that upset me so much? I take it personal. If you love me and you listen to this podcast, for the love of all things that are holy, go clean your machine and give it a new needle.
Yep, and tell her that you did it. She'd be so proud.
And tell it that Bethany loves it. Oh my gosh, y'all. Thank God these are anonymous, or I'd be coming for you so hard right now.
Right? Maybe we can look up their IP address.
I need medication.
That's a good note to end off the podcast.
It's too early in the day for this. Holy cow, I'm sweating. Oh my gosh. That really upset me.
Oh my gosh.
It got a physical reaction out of me. I'm like burning up now. I honestly, if there's something that's preventing you from doing this, if it's intimidation, if you're just scared to look under the hood, I mean, go watch my YouTube video. I just posted a few weeks ago of how to clean your serger. And then I've got another one for sewing machines as well. And it walks you through the best practices. And this is going to be my PSA and we'll wrap up the show. Do not use compressed can air on your sewing machine or serger to clean it out. It is the absolute worst thing you can do when cleaning your machine. I know people talk about it and share that as online and you see that and you think it's okay, but I can tell you right now, it's not. It pushes more into the machine than what it blows out. And that gets pushed into areas that you cannot access. Mm-hmm. And then it's in your motor. And then 3 years later, you're lucky that machine can still work. And you're going to need to have it serviced more often and you're going to have motor issues. And you've literally shortened the lifespan of that machine that you've invested in. Just like your car, you take it in to get it serviced, get an oil change, rotate the tires, check the belts, the oils, the fluids, the whatnots.
It's the
same thing. You're investing in that investment, right? You're taking care of it to keep it running longer, as long as you can. Same thing here. I don't care if you spent $100 on that machine or you spent $5,000 on that machine or $25,000 on that machine. Take freaking care of it.
Okay. Done. Got I'm it. Done.
Okay, that's my PSA. I love you guys. I really do.
But we love your machines more.
I need you to love your machines more. I really do.
You can't love your machines
more. I love you. I'm being hard on hard about this. But
I think there's people out there who just don't love themselves enough to love their machines. So,
well, learn to love yourself by loving your machine first.
There you go.
Just start practicing some loving habits to your machine and maybe...
Yes.
You know,
that's
I just...
your love language to your sewing machine. And it will love you right back with the gift of sewing.
It's amazing what a little cleaning and a fresh needle will do. Your sewing experience will be so much better. If you were struggling with your sewing machine, when was the last time you cleaned it and changed the needle? All right, guys, that's the end of today's podcast. I hope you learned something about zippers.
Yeah.
If you have an anonymous sewing confession that you want to share,
hopefully they're all riled up again.
One that doesn't put me into a conniption.
No,
fit
yeah,
like
you
today's.
Better pen those ones for sure.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm here for it, but like,
do it. Yep.
I'm judging this one. I said this is a safe space and it is, but this is my PSA.
Not a safe space.
It is a safe space.
All right.
But that one was a doozy. All right, guys, have a good one. And we'll see you next week. Happy sewing.
Bye.